I wonder why Vonnie pulled this song. the twist. Twisted himself in a pretzel.
That's a direct shot at Douglas.
Good job.
No, it's Fat Boys.
But Hugh twisted himself in a pretzel Dan Orlovsky agreed with him when he disagreed.
Now Hugh's got beef with Vonnie. No,
I don't have beef with Vonnie.
I don't know.
I thought it was twisting yourself in the press of what we were about to talk about next.
Well, maybe. Well, you know, either way it works. It's good producing either way. I mean, and also you did twist yourself in a pretzel.
I did not.
Last week we had a pretty infamous debate on if quarterback.
I don't recall.
What happened?
I don't know. It was good, though. It was quarterbacks. Our quarterback wins a stat. A quarterback stat, right? We had that fun debate last week.
You guys want to do it again?
We can. Maybe later.
Well, no. Dan answered. He basically
said
he agreed with
no,
me.
No, no.
He basically agreed he with
said,
you.
No.
I don't know what
do
y'all
you
heard.
Think this? No. I wrote down win for Gileo in notebook. So.
No, he. I don't know what y'all heard.
It's written in the notebook.
He twisted himself in a pretzel.
Uh-huh. He felt bad China, for you. He felt bad.
He did not feel.
He twisted you in a pretzel.
He felt bad for you and tried to say, I guess I'm hurting Hugh's feelings here. I got to help him out.
He folded you like a cheap suit.
He did not. He agreed with you.
Yep.
See, you know what? That's why I have the quarterback guy on the show. That's a quarterback that agrees with me. We get it.
I mean, it's there. He just twisted himself in the pretzel, saying that it win was a quarterback stat.
No, he did not. All right. Speaking of twisting yourself into a pretzel, you know what? I don't even know how to explain this. You just have to hear it, okay? So this is Hugh Douglas's former guy, Bryce Huff, right?
I like how I'm guilty by association.
Well, that's true. He was your guy when he was here.
Okay.
So Bryce Huff, after leaving, he went to the Niners. Now he's retired to
go make batteries to save people.
Yes, which is a worthwhile endeavor. I wish him luck. But this is BS what you're about to hear. Bryce Huff, not only blaming Eagles fans for his failure here in Philadelphia, but also questioning the team that didn't play him in the Super Bowl when obviously they had like seven better options up front. Here is Bryce Huff. Listen to this.
Whoa.
We probably should have vetted that one a little bit better.
That's our bad.
But wait, what time is it? Is it 11:50?
No,
we're in that area.
We're in that area. Right. We're in the 11:50 area. Though.
Here's what we'll do. I'll do it. I know the morning show used it this morning, so if we could find that, we'll use that. All good. We'll move on. Happens.
It's apropos. Is it apropos?
Happens. Yes.
Apropos.
It happens. Oh, we are not long for the air. We are.
You take an L, you move forward.
But you know what though?
Douglas took one last segment.
But you know what though? That's apropos for the show.
Yo.
Yeah. It's not. Yo. That's nobody's fault. That's the show's fault.
Again, no blame.
That's the universe.
All right. So
wow, that spiraled out of control.
Vonnie, I know the morning show used it. So if you want to find theirs and just let us know when you have it, and we'll use it. And actually, you know what it does? It does kind of make people more interested. Like, what did he say? What the heck is going on? How could it have been that?
The injury.
It does.
But when you talk about off the rails at 11:50, that's kind of the wheelhouse that we live in. So it's. I mean, I don't know why anybody's shocked.
I think. Okay, thank you, Vonnie. And again, I'll take the blame for all that.
No, that's probably
that's on us. That's on all of us.
Vonnie, it's on everyone but Vonnie.
No blame to Vonnie.
I got
great.
Two strikes, though, it's so that might, I might not be as
well.
We're not blaming you.
I got to say, I think you struck out. You're at an entirely new plate appearance, bud.
All right, let's hear it.
Right.
Let's try again. Right. Take two on Bryce Huff blaming everyone but himself. Get him, Hugh.
I hear him.
Get him.
I hear him. But my thing is this. You're surprised you didn't play in the Super Bowl. You didn't really play all season after that, though. Like, once they put you out there and you didn't adjust or whatever.
Yeah.
Because at first, I'm not going to lie. And part of this was because of what we heard about Vic Fangio. And some of that might be true.
And remember, this was the first year of Fangio, right? You were here in Philadelphia.
So yes.
We're going back to new coordinator. They signed Huff. And pretty early, it seemed like he wasn't his favorite, right? Is that a fair way to say it? He wasn't his favorite.
Like, my thing was, he had a certain skill set. And as a good coach, and I said this on air, that you should be able to at least get that part of him. For whatever reason, that didn't happen. Whether it was schematically or he just didn't like him. For whatever reason, it just didn't happen. So now, you haven't really played a whole lot the second half of the season.
And he
like
got hurt.
Said.
Remember, he had a wrist thing?
Yeah, you had the wrist thing. So my thing is this, Bryce. I understand that you feel some kind of way and, you know, it didn't go the way that you wanted it to go. But I feel like you have to be realistic about the situation. Like, it was an all-hands-on-deck situation with the Kansas City Chiefs. And if you're being honest, you weren't contributing a whole lot, and you needed somebody else to dress out in that position. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and well, you're right. And with that, how about some self-awareness, okay? It would be one thing if, let's say, the Eagles were weak up front, and he's like...
They had a pretty good pass rush.
They dominated Mahomes. Remember Sirianni counting the sacks on the sideline? One, two, three, four.
They had a nice rotation
going. Oh, my gosh, yeah. They didn't need him.
It's unfortunate, man, because, you know, I understand you feel some kind of way, but you didn't play. But, dog, you were a part of an historic run on a Super Bowl winning team. Take it. Take that. Take that. And you know, enjoy that. Revel in that. You're about to go save the earth with the protection for the batteries, dog. Don't be bitter. And you know what else you did inadvertently? You can't come back. You can't come back here.
Well, I mean, yeah, of course not.
You can't.
You mean
can't,
like for the reunion?
No, you can't come back. Like when I say you come back, you can go anywhere in the city you want to go, but you can't come back representing the Eagles.
Yeah, no, I'll get lost.
You can't do it. Like if when they had a reunion, when they had a Super Bowl winning team, when they come back, you can't come back.
Well, I mean, here's all you need to know. The Eagles paid him $50 million and then basically dumped him the next year. That's how bad it was.
Do you know how much I wish somebody would give me $50 million and let me sit on their bench and not play football and still accrue checks every week?
Yeah, you would have signed up for that.
I would have signed up with that. And every time somebody said that I didn't play in that game or whatever, I'd be like, but hell, I played in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I was on a Super Bowl team. I mean, man, sometimes – you just have to take the blessing for what it is. And that's a blessing.
The thing
He played for the Jets.
I mean, he just doesn't have self-awareness.
He went to the Super Bowl.
He just doesn't have self-awareness to what happened in his own career.
Joe, think about that for a minute. Yeah. You were on the Jets. You got $50 million.
And got to the Super Bowl.
And let's be honest. If you want to sound ungrateful, that $50 million that you got, I'm willing to bet that some of that money is used to make them batteries that you want to change the world with.
Little startup money?
Yeah. Come on, man. Like, sometimes you have to look at the perspective. It might not work out the way you want it to work out, but look at the perspective. Because if it wasn't for the Philadelphia Eagles, you wouldn't have been in a position to retire from the game.
Yeah. I just, when players,
like, for real,
when players struggle places, I always think when
and
they
then he was mad at the fans, too.
He said day one of camp, the fans. Like, Bryce, the reality is it's not the fans' fault that you didn't play well here. It's not Vic Fangio's fault because guess what? Everyone else got better. Nolan Smith got better that year. Alex Hunt got better that year. Josh Sweat, right? Like maybe some
accountability.
Maybe look in the mirror, man.
Accountability.
Like, everybody else, like for the most part, most of the players they've given Fangio the last couple years have gotten better, right? Like they've all grown. Carter, Davis, DeJean, Mitchell, even Reed got himself money in Houston, right? Like he got better as a player. All of them. Oh, Jomo, how come you're the only one that didn't get any better? That's probably you.
Yeah, it's the fans' fault.
No, yes, it's my fault. I'll take the blame for Bryce Huff.
What that was wild.
The guy was a fool. I mean, the guy, and I'm not surprised not in the league anymore. I wish him luck at his next job.
Well, he retired.
Yeah, well, right. Also, he probably saw the writing on the wall. His career was not going the right way. He sounded completely foolish. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. All right, let's check in on our Twitter poll, Hugh Douglas. A couple Twitter polls to start the show today. We will get to the Phillies here in a second, something Ruben Amaro said. But let's check in on the Twitter poll and then your phone calls. All right, a couple of them to start us off. Are you starting to believe this Phillies team is different? Yes or no?
65%. No.
You said 65 or 55?
65.
54% no.
Oh, okay.
46% yes. Is that a good number for yes in June? I kind of
think
it is.
So. Yeah, you take that.
That means about half
the
people.
Spin that positive.
That's right. About half the people are starting to see something different.
Yeah, you can just give me that different. Plate. Thank you, miss.
Starting to see something different.
Right
there.
Thank you.
Yeah, right. We're on the air.
Yeah, we are live on the air.
Well, she handed it to me.
Yeah.
Okay, you can take it without saying
Isn't that
anything.
A plate of, like,
chicken.
Hors d'oeuvres?
Whoa.
No, yeah. I know, but it's like.
Horse divers.
Yeah, no, I know what it is. But
horse divers.
But with the toothpicks, it feels like.
I get the toothpicks back.
It's for everyone. You just took it.
But it's only three.
No, I get that. It's the end. It's the end.
I get it.
All right.
We take those.
Are you open to trading Tyrese Maxey, yes or no? How do you think people are voting on this one?
78% no.
Well, I haven't voted yet to see the percentage.
I think I'm winning this because he ain't put that one out yet.
75% no.
See, I was about right. So when you vote, it'll be 78%.
Mm-hmm. And who is more to new poll up. Who is more to blame for Bryce Huff's failed Eagles tenure? Bryce Huff or Eagles fans?
Eagles fans. 100%.
8% on Eagles fans. 92% Bryce Huff. I would include a third one. Hugh Douglas.
What did I do?
You backed him.
Yeah.
I did.
You had his back.
I did have.
And look what he did.
He'd be like, hey.
He embarrassed
Bryce,
himself.
You can't come back now. You can't come back.
Absolutely embarrassed.
Can't show
himself.
Your face around these
what
parts.
What a joke. All right, let's grab Andy in Deptford, who's up on WIP. Hey, Andy.
Brammy, you. What's good, guys?
What's up?
What's up, Andy?
Yeah, that was a nice little soundbite. Come on, Joe. You got to have that thing pre-edited, though, cuz.
Well, yeah. Listen,
Joe.
That's our fault.
Come on, Joe.
I'll take the full blame. Yeah. It's on me.
That one's on me.
Yeah.
No, it's not on you, Brian.
You know what?
Let's
put it on you.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
That's a huge episode.
Yeah, let's put it on Joe.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no way you trade Maxey. Like, I mean, you look at what the Heat just picked up in Giannis. Like, that would have been the move to make.
Well, how are we getting him? You have to give up. You give up Edgecombe for him? How are we getting him?
Would I have gave up? I mean, look what they gave up. They gave up Tyler Hero. They didn't give up nothing for him. The most value was those draft picks. So I would have definitely gave up some draft picks and some players for the Greek Freak and pair him with Maxey.
Well, but I think they would have wanted Edgecombe. What would you have traded Edgecombe for, Giannis?
Probably. I don't think it'd be the best move to trade your best player and your most reliable guy that's been most reliable since he's been drafted. I mean, you know, this is his team. This ain't Embiid's team no more. So
I agree. With
I don't
that.
See why you'd want to get rid of him.
Well, I mean, it's not. So before you go on, like, I like Maxey. It's not so much getting rid of him. I just feel like
you're just thinking ahead. You just workshop.
I feel like they could get a lot for Tyrese Maxey, and if we're not thinking they're going to win a championship, maybe that's the best way to build this thing by getting five or six number one picks. That's really Maxey, Andy.
Joe, I feel you on that with the picks, but look at their track record of what they did. Like, we could have killed it with all the picks because the prospect was good in theory, but we just made all the wrong picks.
Yep. Well,
so
they did.
I don't really trust them, you know what I mean, with that as far as that goes. When you look at Smitty's wedding, like, they was all there. A.J. Brown was there. Jalen Hurts. You think they had any awkward moments throughout the ceremony?
What do you think on that, Hugh?
I think they were having too much fun for it to really even matter, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, I feel that.
Yeah.
All right. So how about you know, Bryce was going off with that when he hit for the cycle, right? And I don't know, somebody on the station must have been talking trash. So the other station was taking shots at y'all family, like, you know, talking about tough guy behind the microphone. You know, the other host on the other station was saying that, you know, that cat would never say that to Bryce Harper's face. Like, how y'all feel about that? You think there's some merit to that? Because I definitely do. I don't think he would never be a tough guy with Bryce.
Well, I mean, here's what I'll say. Andy, we preached the phone call.
Annoying and a weirdo, as always.
Are we going to take the high road with this? Because, you know, this is my wheelhouse.
No, I know.
Okay, I'll leave it.
So the bottom line is this. Spike had his take on Bryce Harper, right? Mm-hmm. And I think some people agree with him, some people didn't. That's the bottom line. As far as other people reacting to his opinion, I mean, like, what does he care for? Like that when you have a sports opinion, that you have your opinion. When you're a talk show host, you have your opinion.
Yes.
That's the key to actually being a talk show host, is having an opinion.
So basically you're trying to say you should focus. It's two things you need to focus on, right? If hypothetically, this individual. Focus on getting a hairline or getting that bald spot taken care of you have, and focus on having your own opinion as a host, right?
That seems to be the key.
Yeah, and come on home with that ball, big old ball spot.
It just feels like you have your own opinion and you worry about your own opinion. That's
I like
all.
How you're trying to take the high road, but you know this is kind of like my wheel.
Yeah, we're trying to.
We know you. We know you. It's not even 11:50.
This is why you need African American friends.
That's why I'm here.
Ball right. spot, take care of that before you worry about somebody else being here. A tough
all
guy.
Right. Before we go any further, speaking of things that don't have to be awkward, but they kind of are when you hear them. Can we hear Ruben Amaro? I love Ruben. And he gave us that. I want to hear Hugh's reaction to this because it's just. All right, so Ruben's given kind of going through, and we did this yesterday a little bit. Like, what is really the priority for the Phillies, right? Because they have three needs, but, like, how do you tier the needs, right? The bullpen, which I'm going to tell you, I think the bullpen is jumping up for me as the biggest need. I don't trust anything ahead of Duran. Yes. Anything. I mean, even Bolin, who I like, gives up the home run to Meade last night. So you got the bullpen, obviously right field is an issue, and they could use another starter because, all right, Nola, we hope for the best, and Alan Rangel is our fifth starter right now. Here's Ruben Amaro kind of workshopping through the tiers, and listen just the way he framed the lineup as we get closer to October. So, Hugh, you know,
laying up at night thinking about hot guys?
That's it. I mean, the idea is if you get enough hot guys in October, you're good to go. just love the way that came out.
Ruben's an OG.
We all know what he meant, right? The lineup gets hot at the right time.
Yeah, it's the emphasis on hot, though.
Hot guys. Do you have enough hot guys in October?
He said, I lay up all night thinking about this. That's that right there.
I mean, who isn't kept up at night thinking about hot guys?
You starting to think more about the bullpen because we have enough hot guys in the lineup?
Well,
that's really the question.
That's the concern, Joe.
Do you think they have enough hot guys?
If they get that. No, they don't have enough hot guys, Joe, since we're here.
Cut that audio right there.
Finally, do me a solid. Don't cut that.
That's all right. I'll take care of it tomorrow. You think I'm never going back behind that?
Oh, yeah. You probably, yeah.
So, but, you know what I think is going to be the hardest thing for Dombrowski?
What's that?
So, like, they have about 5 weeks till the trade deadline, August 3rd. It's probably going to ebb and flow a lot in the next 5 weeks, right? There's going to be weeks they hit. There's going to be weeks where the bullpen is good, weeks where the bullpen is bad, weeks where Alan Rangel, you feel like, all right, whatever, he could be decent. And then he'll probably have a start where he gives up 7 runs because he just got here from the minor leagues, right? Mm-hmm. Hugh, I think the biggest thing for Dombrowski is going to accurately assess
where they are,
which is the biggest thing I need to get. Like, not just for today, not just over the next 5 weeks, what's the one that helps me in October the most? Kyle, are you still on starting pitcher?
I mean, yeah, because a starting pitcher doubles as a reliever.
Well, sure.
In the postseason.
Sure. If you get the right kind and right one.
I don't see a bat out there that makes me feel significantly better about the
Not
lineup
one that you could get.
In October. Right. And so, like, I just think the biggest impact move you can make, I mean, we're talking about a starting pitcher can quite literally, we're doing the QB wins thing, a starting pitcher can quite literally win you a game in the playoffs. I mean, it
could.
It can.
Yeah.
And I know we've done the 1-0 losses and games where Wheeler and Sanchez pitch really well, but I think back to that Dodgers series, man, and I know that the Dodgers got the right hits at the right time, and the Phillies didn't. But if we had Zach Wheeler, I wonder how different things would have been.
So I get it. My only concern is, let's say they get a starter, right, and he becomes the four, even if he's good. Games 1, 2, and 3 of a playoff series, that guy doesn't impact the game. You know what I mean? Like, if you get a bat, Hugh, that guy impacts every single game.
Yeah, it does.
You get a reliever, you could in a baseball playoff series, you could pitch a reliever 5 times out of 7 games.
Joe, but
maybe 6.
I think that when you look at this team, I don't think the first round is like a bigger issue as like the later rounds.
Still have to win it though.
Yeah, you still have to. But it just feels like when we get deeper into this thing, that has been the biggest issue that we've had. The bats have just not been there. I get that. But if you have the pitching gives you an opportunity for the bats to come back around. And I think about that Dodger series. Go back to that Dodger series and how their pitching kept them around.
I know, but didn't we need to hit more in that series?
Nobody hit early on. But the fact that they had better pitching allowed them to weather the storm better.
So one thing we haven't talked much about, and I think Ruben was kind of alluding to this, we've gone back and forth between outfielder, starter, and then we've kind of mentioned the bullpen. What if they get a huge bullpen piece? Like, Aroldis Chapman could be available in Boston. Aroldis Chapman is a difference maker. I mean, if you make a list here of the top 10 relievers, I'd put him on it. So you'd have Duran. Like, you could basically have 7-inning games where if you have a lead after 7, Chapman and Duran, that's it. Game over.
I got a question for you and Kyle. And at the point that we are right now with our farm system and everything, what is easier for us to get without giving up the most right now?
A relief pitcher. They're the cheapest in terms of trade value.
That's what I'm saying, because when you talk about the bat that you're talking about getting, how much are you going to have to give up to get him? And not only how much you got to give up, what do you have that would be attractive to somebody else that's not on the field already? Like, I think that's what you have to realistically look at, because that's where we are.
Well, you do, and you have to figure out how much you're willing to give up, and then, like,
how far are you willing to go?
Who's that basket? The Chapman thing could be – Chapman is still dominant. I don't care that he's almost 40 years old. Yeah. I mean, he's still throwing gas out there up there in Boston. And last year's ERA was basically like one. He's been great for years and years and years. Kyle, the idea of Chapman and Duran at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Well, that is difference making.
Beyond Duran, they got nothing, dude.
They have not.
They really don't.
I think Bolin's the guy I liked the most last night. He gave up that shot to Meade.
Right.
And he might be something.
I just, with the starting pitching that we have, you really need, I don't know, maybe one, two guys. You know, if you get a starter, you get a reliever. Starter becomes a reliever, whatever. I just, like, you need one or two guys who can bridge that gap. Would to Juwan Duran, or even if, like, say Duran can't go one night.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you need another reliable guy. Alvarado, Kirkering, I can't trust them as far as I can throw them.
Yeah, the other thing is if they got a starter, Jesus Luzardo's stuff in the bullpen would be dominant.
I agree.
I mean, he strikes out 10 guys in his regular starts. Yep. I mean, he probably could, you know, have innings where he strikes everybody out. So, they have a lot of – it's almost like a juggling act for Dombrowski. I'm sure they're going to make moves. They're probably going to add at all three of these spots. But who do they put – you know, who they really go after is the hardest thing to figure out. 215-592-9494. That is how you hotboard. All right, on the other side, your phone calls on all this. We have a Jalen Hurts caller on the phone.
Oh,
is that our guy from
yesterday?
Yep. Oh, boy.
Round two? We'll
get to that.
You got that
up
in you?
I don't know, but I'll try. Yeah, this was the same guy I think told me that he's better than Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts? Okay. All your phone calls coming up. Are you starting to believe this Phillies team is different? And of course, the Tyrese Maxey thing, I'd be willing to take offers on him. I mean, this morning, if you missed it, LaMelo Ball from Charlotte got basically six picks. You know, an unprotected pick, pick swaps, and a good player traded for him too. If this point guard the Sixers drafted a couple nights ago is a future starting point guard, a lot of people believe he is, with big-time comparisons out there, I'd be willing to listen to trade offers for Tyrese Maxey. Would you? 215-592-9494. We're live today at the Team 62 Beer Bowl with everything going towards the Eagles Autism Foundation right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Oh,
It's not too late for you to say
something. Oh.
For all his takes, for the Bryce Huff take.
You know I apologize for my takes. Mm. I do apologize for fat shaming, though, because that's not cool.
You apologized pretty quickly for that.
Yeah, I don't fat shame.
Well, you did, but then you stopped it.
Yeah, because I realized I was fat shaming.
You know what you did? You did the old school, let me walk that back.
Yeah.
You haven't done that in a while, where you start a take, and then you're like, hey, you know what? Let me walk that way
back. Yeah, because usually I stand on business. But you know, sometimes, you know, you just got to, you know, do the right thing.
You got to be grown up?
Yeah, sometimes it's hard, though.
I know, but you, I feel, have you, do you feel you've gotten better at being grown up or worse?
That's a good question.
The fact that there's not an easy answer there.
No, you know what's funny? I feel.
Wow, this should have been a hard question.
Well, it is because, like, I know, put it like this. I know my teammates, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of my teammates have done a tremendous job taking a high road on certain situations, right? And I don't like that for y'all. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like sometimes, and this is just an analogy. This is not for real.
Total analogy.
Sometimes people need to be punched in the face to let them realize that, you know, sometimes it's, you know, you can't just be saying stuff that, you know, you can't be just throwing rocks and hiding hands.
Talking crazy?
Yeah. Sometimes you need to be confronted about certain things because you need to know that you ain't that cat that you think you are sometimes.
Okay.
You know what
well,
I mean? Sometimes.
Speaking of talking crazy here, this might sound crazy. I believe this Phillies team is different, man. They feel different to me.
That's why they put it together. That's a perfect segue.
They feel different, crazy or not. Talking crazy or not, I feel this Phillies team is different. 215-592-9494. All right, so we are live today, Team 62, the Beer Bowl for the Eagles Autism Foundation. I believe like 120 or 200 feet to our right, they're in the
cheese ball
they're
pit.
In the cheese ball pit.
It's a lot of cheese balls over there.
It's be greasy.
It sounds sticky.
Yeah, like gross.
Yeah, gross.
You're going to have to jump in the bay after that, I think.
I don't know, but yeah, I guess that'll help a little bit. Yeah.
And it's a little warm out here, too. And so you know what happens when you get in a vat of cheese balls and you're sticky. Ugh.
Yeah. Do you have experience?
No, but I can, like I've eaten cheese balls, and like when you eat the cheese balls, they get cheese all on your hands. So I'm pretty sure if you get your sticky self in the cheese ball vat.
Yep.
You're going to have cheese balls in places that you ain't really normally
surrounded
used to having.
Surrounded by balls.
Yes.
If you had to choose.
Nope.
Had to.
Water.
The water over the cheese balls?
I'm not getting no cheese balls. I'm not getting the cheese balls. I jump in the lake and jump right back out before I jump in the cheese balls.
Now, if they were Cheetos, would you feel different?
Nope.
Okay. I just. just want checking on something.
No, I'm not jumping in the cheese ball.
It's the cheese. That's nasty. It's just
because it's hot, Joe. Yep. It's hot, and they're sticky.
But it goes for a great cause. You know,
it is for a great cause.
This is all about.
And that's why if I had to choose for a great cause, the two.
Go in the water with the sharks.
I'm going in the water with the
sand sharks.
The sand sharks. Okay. And I'm a Herbie with some aqua shoes on.
Okay.
Like the kids. With.
Yes. 215-592-9494. All right. Now that we have kind of come full circle here with our show, and we've had a lot of, we appreciate the guests we've had today, Bo Allen, Kylie Kelsey. And, of course, Dan Orlovsky. Go back in the Odyssey app later and listen to any of those. Hugh, now that you've had more time to let it marinate, are you starting to feel this Phillies team is different?
I mean, no.
Okay, thank you.
I like this Phillies team, though.
No, it doesn't sound like
I like the win that they had last night against Love Lady.
Richard
Love Lady.
Dick Love Lady.
Yeah, I like the fact that they had that win. And your boy Biederman.
No, it was Richard Love Lady last night. Beetlejuice from the Nationals.
Love Lady. I like the fact that they showed a lot of grit last night, a lot of moxie. But as far as, like, changing the way I feel, we've been down this road before.
Well, let me ask you guys this question. Is there anything the Phillies can do in the regular season to make you feel it's different? I mean, so let's just break down what they've done. Since Mattingly took over, best record in baseball. Mm-hmm. Not a short sample anymore, right? We're talking about basically 2 months. They've been the best team in baseball. They have their top three pitchers healthy and pitching well. Their top two, especially pitching at a super level. They have a great closer. They have three all-star caliber everyday players, right?
Yes.
We'll see if they all make it. But they're all-star caliber this season.
Yes.
They've got the other guys in the lineup at least showing a pulse the last 4 to 5 weeks. What more do you need?
You know, you asked the question, like, what have they done to make me feel different?
Yeah, or what do they need to do to make you feel different?
I will say
if
this.
They haven't already.
I will say this one. I'll concede this one point to you. They do feel different. You know what? The why they feel different now? Because I thought about this. Because I feel like Don Mattingly, whatever happens in the postseason, I feel like we as fans won't have a problem with the moves that he's made because it feels like he's going to do whatever it takes to win the game. Is that I'll give you
so,
that.
So the Mattingly angle is like that might make you feel different.
Yeah, it might make me feel different because it feels like, you know, the fact that, you know, Kyle was a scratch last night because of the back. And you went to Kyle and said, hey, man. Give me something. And he did. He gave you something.
So gut feeling. We don't know the answer. We'll never will know the answer. And every situation is its own thing. Gut feeling. Do you think if Topper's the manager, he uses Schwarber last night? I don't think
Joe,
he does.
Joe, you know what's funny? I thought about that today. And I would say, given the fact that Topper's kind of like, I feel like Topper would have gave the night off.
And
wouldn't have used
Well, so do you remember? I'm trying to remember if it was last summer or the summer before, Hugh. There was a game. I think it was against the Nationals. It was in August here. It was in Philadelphia. Kyle, you might remember the game. In August, Philadelphia, your last summer, the year before, where I think it was Bryce had the day off. Like, he just, you know, it was a day off for Bryce. Maybe JT. And it was a close game late, and he didn't use him.
Yeah.
Like, remember, and then afterwards he said, I wanted to give him the full day. Like, last night was the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Like, there was a reason Schwarber sat, right? He had a tight back. And he still
said,
used him.
Yeah, he put his arms on his shoulder and said, hey, Kyle, I need you. And Kyle said, yeah.
My gut feeling is if that game happened a year ago or just 2 months ago, Schwarber doesn't pinch hit. They lose the game. And he's asked afterwards, and Topper says, I could have used him, but I'm thinking big picture on this.
But I will say this to that. And I might be wrong, but I think it needs to be said. I feel like given what Bryce has done or hasn't done over the last couple weeks, I don't think he would have did it because you gave him the night off. I think Schwarber's built different. I think Schwarber probably had the night off until Dom went to him and said, hey, I need you. And he said, okay.
Or he asked him, can you go? And he said, yeah.
He was wincing. You could tell his back was tight. You could tell that. And you could tell when he was walking to first base that his back was tight.
Yeah, I mean, he was up there to either pop a home run
that
or
was it.
Walk.
It was one or the other. It was one or the other. So I'm going to say Topper doesn't even ask Bryce because he already knows the answer. You know what I'm saying? I think with Don and the two individuals in this story, that's why it was different. Because
I just think Schwarber
carried the stick.
Yeah.
Well, that
matters.
But
to them apparently
but the fact that it's Kyle Schwarber, because Kyle feels to me like if you ask him in a situation like that in a pinch, he's gonna do it.
Well, yeah. And also like if Mattingly, he's coming from a place of if he asked the player to do that.
Yeah.
like Mattingly himself has probably been in a similar situation as a player.
So it's, you know, it's a different scenario. Right. I don't even think he asked Bryce because he already knows the answer.
Well, that is the one thing that I do think it feels different because it is different, is Mattingly. And I think he manages with more urgency. Well, like the games matter to him, and that could bear out in the playoffs.
He's an interim manager. Yeah. He has managed the Phillies like an interim manager. You know, Hugh, when you're renting somewhere versus you own it, or you're just, you know, you're having a good time versus you're committed to something, it changes the way you go about it.
Not worried about getting the security deposit back.
Right, exactly.
That's a good way of putting it. I ain't worried about the security
deposit. If Don tries things or pushes the envelope, and let's just say, because he's been very aggressive with Duran, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the season, Duran runs out of gas. I mean, not that Don Mattingly wants that, but what does he have to lose, right? Right now, he's guaranteed nothing beyond this year. Topper managed this team differently because he didn't feel that way. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. A lot to talk about with the Phillies and the Maxi thing. I if I'm the Sixers and I see that trade this morning that the Hornets made, LaMelo Ball for all those picks on a good player, Naz Reid, I'm like, wait a second. Here's what I would do if I was Mike Hansi. I would and Bob Myers. I would just put the signal out to the league. Like, hey, we're not looking to trade Tyrese Maxi. But if you want to call and just tell us what you would offer, yeah, well, listen. If you can get 5 or 6 number one picks for Tyrese Maxey or 3 real unprotected picks, 3 pick swaps, whatever, I think you owe it to yourself to think about it because this team, the way I view it, is years away from winning. The kid they just drafted might be a legitimate starting point guard in the NBA within a couple years, and you could create a timeline that makes more sense to me. Chris in Overbrook is up on WIP. Chris, good afternoon.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Chris, what's up?
Man?
Everything goes. You wanted to clear a couple of things up from yesterday, bro. I know you had some questions about ethnicity and everything. I just want to tell you that my dad is black. He's a legend from West Philly. My mom is white. She's a legend in her own right from East Falls. And then you got Chris from Overbrook, another legend. Just wanted to clear that up real quick.
That's fine. Now, that's cool.
That sounds great.
We all inclusive over here.
Listen, it's all good. Listen.
Yep.
So,
yes.
You realize in five years' time, not even, you're going to have to switch up. You're going to have to retort everything that you're saying about Jalen Hurts. You're just going to have to all your words, bro.
So in five years, I'm going to have to change all my. But why? Like, what does that mean? Why?
Because he's not going to be here.
He's too much of a winner. He's not going to be here. Like I told you guys yesterday, we haven't even seen the best football out of Jalen Hurts. He's going to take us back to another couple of Super Bowls at least, and he wins too many games.
Oh man!
And you can put 1,000, you can put 1,000 machine guns in Jalen Hurts' face, and he's not even going to bat an eye. Hmm. He's the GOAT.
He's the GOat of what?
Talk to him, Chris.
The greatest player to ever put the pads on. Yep,
you can put Jalen Hurts on those Tom Brady teams, and he's going to take them to more Super Bowls. Put Jalen Hurts on those San Francisco teams, he's going to take those guys to Super Bowls too.
The GOAT of pro football or a different sport? Because it can't be the sport we're watching every Sunday, right?
Yeah, you heard him. Mm-hmm. Talk to him, Chris.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Hold on. Name me another quarterback who took Alabama, okay? Mm-hmm. To a championship. He took Oklahoma to
Joe
a championship,
Namath.
Then came in the NFL and took an NFL team to 2 Super Bowls.
Joe Namath.
Joe Namath. Also,
Chris. Joe Namath, another legend.
Another GOAT.
But he didn't. He wasn't the starting quarterback when Alabama won to a Tagovailoa.
That's the only retort, but it's
not a retort. It's just a reality. The quarterback on they had a bench Jalen to win the game.
Talk to him, Chris. Talk
you
to him.
Do you understand why they did that?
It's a bet.
Why they do that? I remember watching the game because they couldn't throw the ball.
Talk to him, Chris.
They couldn't throw the ball. Remember when Tua hit Devontae in the end zone?
Tua to Devontae. Tua connected with the higher courses. Oh, no. No way. Tua had connection with the higher forces of Alabama. That's why they put him in. And look at Tua now. He can't even get on the field.
Set him straight.
He can't even get on the field.
But Tua won that game against Georgia.
Set him straight.
Tua won that game after Jalen Hurts laid the foundation for everything
foundation.
That he did. Then he went to Oklahoma.
Laid the foundation?
Them.
How many at points did they have at halftime?
No, Jalen was Alabama, Joe.
Hey, you know what, Joe? You ain't listening.
He won.
That's the problem,
Joe. No, Jalen was Alabama. He brought that program into relevance.
Yep. They weren't good before he got there?
Way
no.
Joe
no. Alabama, they were nothing.
I'm sorry.
Alabama was nothing.
You know what, Chris? I must watch a different sport than everybody else. So you think he's the greatest player of all time?
I think he's at least top three quarterback. And by the end of his career, he's going to be the best quarterback.
Top three quarterback of all time already?
You heard it.
So we put Brady there. So what, we got Brady. Who else?
Most dominant.
Like more dominant than
nobody can do.
Peyton Manning.
most dominant. I'll give you Peyton Manning.
Oh man,
I like Peyton Manning, but he's not anywhere as near as a dominant of a football player as Jalen Hurts. He can't do what he can do. Nobody can do what he can do.
Do you remember how many points Alabama had at halftime in a game that
goal line and do what he can do?
I'm just curious. Do you remember how many points Alabama had at halftime when they pulled
Hurts? First Paul Jolovitz, not his.
Do you remember any points Alabama had at halftime when they pulled Hurts for Tua?
A million.
Zero.
Hurts?
It was not one, not two, not three. A goose egg, Chris.
That's all then. Look what Hurts did in that Chargers game. Hold on. Look what Hurts did in that Chargers game. He threw four interceptions and still put the Eagles in a position to win that game.
I would argue he put them in a position.
He threw a perfect ball to A.J. Brown, and A.J. Brown dropped it in the end zone. Put the team in a position to win the game.
I actually think that was
what other quarterback
a position to lose the game when you turn the ball over five times in a single game.
Come on, bro. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but we still
you heard
did we
did.
Not have a just, did we not have a chance to win that game after four interceptions? Did we not
think,
have a chance?
Do you
did he
think
not
that
put
might
that
be
ball
because the
in the hands
defense
of AJ
sacked Herbert
Brown
seven
to win
times?
That game?
What is this?
Do you think it might be because Herbert
My
got sacked seven times by the Eagles defense? All right. Last thing, I just want to workshop top five quarterbacks
of
all time.
What's his record against Jalen Hurts? Speaking of Matt Stafford, what's his record against Jalen Hurts?
Talk to him any kind of way.
What's his record against Jalen Hurts? Speaking of Lamar Jackson, what's his record against Jalen Hurts?
Nope, not
speaking
good.
Speaking of Jaden Daniels, what's his record against Jalen Hurts?
Chris, what is Jalen Hurts' record? Chris,
you got spew nonsense. You got spew nonsense about Hurts.
All right, the game works both ways. What's Jalen Hurts' record against Zach Wilson?
Come on, bro. I'm just saying all these things.
That's the go-to football right there.
What are we doing?
Put that in the dumpster, bro.
All right, so hold on.
Put that in the dumpster. Nobody
cares
about him.
Top five quarterbacks ever, right? So you put Jalen, right? You got Brady. Manning. Do you want to put Montana in or no? Montana?
What about Steve Young? What's Steve Young at?
Of course you're putting him in.
Steve Young?
And then Steve Young or Hurts? What do you got?
Johnny Unitas? Where's Johnny Unitas?
Johnny Unitas.
Mm-hmm. But then we have too many. We're doing a top five.
Johnny Unitas is above Peyton Manning.
See? Yeah. I love
Steve. Johnny Unitas is above Peyton Manning.
What do we do with Rodgers? Is Jalen above him too?
Yes.
Jalen's above Rodgers.
Jalen Hurts above Aaron Rodgers. He won four MVPs.
What about where's he ranked?
Jalen Hurts is above Aaron Rodgers, bro.
What about Tom Brady?
You got to be kidding me. If you put Jalen Hurts on those Patriots teams, they win four Super Bowls over those years. I can guarantee you that.
I can't guarantee.
And
that.
Hold
wait
on.
A minute.
And
said more?
Let's talk about Tom. Let's talk about Tom Ashridge. I call him Tom Ashridge.
Talk to him, Chris.
Unbelievable.
School him, Chris. Go and talk to him.
Tom Ashridge. Brady, because everything that he did, all the records that he has as an asterisk next to him, because he's a cheater.
Right.
He can't win without cheating. Tom Brady had the refs on his side his whole career. Jalen Hurts has to fight against the refs. That's the difference.
Damn right.
Yeah. I mean, I can't argue. I mean, what am I supposed to do with that one?
You just cooked you.
Yeah. So seven Super Bowls. Does he get any of them, or are we taking them all away from Brady?
Go and look at that. Go and watch that Super Bowl with the Bucks, and tell me that the refs were on his side. A matter of fact, they wouldn't listen. The Bucks wouldn't even have gotten to the Super Bowl if they would have called that penalty that put us back. We would have beat them if they didn't call that roughing the passer penalty in the first quarter against the Bucks.
The game we were down 31-0 in.
That's only because they called me. We had a running team.
They knew that.
Yeah. Bro, we had a running team that year. Yeah. We did not have a lot of pieces that year. We had a running team.
Right.
If they put us behind that eight ball.
All right, Chris.
You couldn't take all
no,
that.
No, I couldn't take it anymore.
He was cooking.
That was a tough one.
I just like the nonsense that comes after noon.
It usually is afternoon.
Yeah, well, I just like the nonsense.
You know what? You know who's all business, not nonsense? Ross Tucker, who sits down with us right now.
Ross,
how are you?
I am fantastic. How are you guys
good.
Doing?
Were you in the cheese
ball? The cheese ball pit? Yes.
Now, you don't look orange.
You don't look, yeah. So Connor Barwin, my teammate, found that they have hazmat suits outside of it.
Smart
so
man.
So we put the hazmat suits on, and it was clutch. I mean, really clutch. Because everybody else is, like, orange. And I know this is a radio show, but you guys can at least see how Connor and I look.
Oh, that's awesome.
Before
that's
we went in.
That's the only way to do it.
I will say this about the hazmat suits. Very hot.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine.
So I felt like a wrestler. I felt like a wrestler trying to lose weight.
Yeah, you were cooking a stew
at the end of it.
Yeah, that's
so. What did I stumble on here?
Well,
Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts.
Yes,
he's in the top five greatest quarterbacks that ever played again.
Well, yesterday he said he's the greatest player to ever put on
pads. Jim Brown.
No, he said
besides
two.
Jim Brown.
Yeah,
and he's number two.
Right.
You know what's so funny about that? Growing up, I would talk to like my grandpa or whatever, even like my father-in-law, about the best football players ever. And they'd be like, you mean other than Jim Brown?
Like it wasn't
even, like to them, to the older guys, like you don't even debate anyone with Jim Brown.
Right.
It's like, you mean other than Jim Brown.
Yeah.
Think about that. That we don't really have that guy.
Jim Brown was a specimen. Like you talk about, you know how they talk about some players that were before their time?
Oh, yeah.
That's, when you think about Jim Brown, that's what I think about. Like I'm talking about everything that was Jim Brown. Like the acting. The civil rights activist and all that stuff. Like, he was before.
The physique.
The lacrosse player.
Yeah.
Like, I hear people say he was a much better lacrosse player than he was a football player.
You know, and they changed the rule for him.
When you
see the rare highlights, you could see it almost looks like he's dropped in a different generation. Like, athletes get better, right?
He's bigger than the lineman.
I know. It doesn't look right.
But he's the fastest guy out there.
It's amazing.
It is crazy.
Genetics. Bananas.
Ross, are you ready for the beer bowl?
Yeah, I mean,
you ready for? Well, you're ready for the down there, the obstacle course.
I'm not usually very good at the obstacle course. I think I'm aging out of the obstacle course, but I'm still going to do it.
Are you happy that they got rid of the greasy pole?
I didn't even do it last year. Connor did it.
Yes,
but, yes, I am. I'm glad that Cooper DeJean's not here to potentially get hurt on this obstacle course.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Last year, Kelsey tore his hamstring.
I remember that. I remember seeing him grab
that.
It. No, no.
We don't need that.
We don't need that.
At least we don't need that from guys that are still playing.
No.
Sidney Brown's still playing. He's here, but he plays for the Falcons
now.
That's
right, yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter quite as much. Yeah, we can be honest. All right, Ross, while we have you, we need to get your vote in a debate that we've been having for, I mean, the better part of years, but it crescendoed last week. Are wins a quarterback stat?
I'm so glad you asked this. They are absolutely a quarterback stat.
All right, we're tied at one. Dan Orlovsky said no, a quarterback.
No. See?
He said no.
Stop, Hugh.
He said no.
No.
Let me ask you guys this.
Okay.
Are wins and losses a head coach stat?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Who do you think has more of an impact on the outcome of a game, the head coach or the quarterback? A given game.
The quarterback.
It's not even close. The coaches would tell you that. It's not even close.
But it's the only way we can measure a coach.
No, but
well, a quarterback, we have statistics.
I understand. It's not a perfect statistic, but what statistics are perfect? I mean, for quarterbacks, it's like completion percentage. All right, well, How easy were the throws he was attempting? How many drops were there? Like, if you look at every statistic, I can make an argument on why it's not a perfect statistic. I don't think wins and losses are a perfect quarterback, but they're not a perfect head coach stat either.
It's fair. It's fair.
I mean, we assign these coaches, oh, he's got a losing record. Yeah, he was coaching the Browns.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what do you think his record's going to be?
Bad.
Don't you think the win-loss thing is the stat that has the least amount of context attached to it?
Probably, but what I would tell you is, like, late in games, there are certain quarterbacks that have a strong tendency over time to make the right plays at the right time so their team wins. There are also quarterbacks that compile a lot of statistics, but late in games, when it's winning or losing time, they tend to falter. They tend to not. So I think it's... The goal is not to see how many touchdowns you can throw or how many yards you can throw for. The goal is to win the game. Those guys have the most impact on winning the game. Now, listen, I played, right? If I was offensive line, if I gave up 8 sacks to Hugh, it's probably not great for the quarterback's one loss record right?
Not, yeah.
However, I still think it's something we should consider. I think you should consider every statistic, including win-loss record. So it's not the Bible. It's not the end-all, be-all, but it's one of the statistics I believe we should consider.
So basically, Dan Orlovsky basically said it's not a quarterback stat, but he long-talked his way to saying that the quarterback has the most influence.
Ross agreed with you. Can you just accept that?
It's a tie. It's 1-1.
I'm just giving Ross context.
He says it is.
I think it is. You say it's not, Joe?
Well, you know what it is, Ross.
I've seen too many quarterbacks play great and lose, and then I've seen too many quarterbacks play poorly, and this team wins. It's like, I think it's almost too imperfect, to use your word, for me to use it as
and that's his fair assessment. But I told him, I said, as a former defender, it's my job to give the quarterback the ball as many times as he can. And at the end of the day, I have been programmed, whether it's right or wrong, so that if the quarterback, if we give him the opportunity to win the game and he does it, that's on us. Because we didn't stop them enough and put him in better position to win the football.
Let me ask you this, Joe. If it's not a quarterback stat, okay, why is it that all of the best quarterbacks win so much more than all of the bad quarterbacks?
Well, I think to your point, and I agree with this, they have the most influence. But also, if you look at the list of the most wins in NFL history, you will find some guys in there that you wouldn't consider the greatest quarterbacks, right? But they were good. Like, Joe Flacco has a lot of wins, right? He's played a long time. Joe, what did you think of Flacco in his heyday? He was good.
Good quarterback that played his best when it mattered the most.
I agree.
In the Super Bowl.
So I think that should count.
Yeah, right.
I think that should be in his favor.
I think it should be in his favor. It feels too imperfect. It feels too imperfect. Plus, he was so passionate about it, I got to fight him on it.
Well.
I don't recall what he's talking about. I don't know what he's talking about, Ross.
Ross, we appreciate you hopping on.
Next time I have a spirit debate, I'm about to do this.
Soon.
I know you are.
Dude, the bugs were already bad enough, and now I got these Utz cheese balls.
Oh, no, they're coming
on my
leg, they're coming
and they're just killing me.
Yeah.
They're killing me.
All right,
they have no respect for WIP or the fact that I'm on live radio right now.
You're what they call a snack right
now. Ross, good luck. Don't get hurt down there, all right?
I will. That's the one thing I will definitely not do.
Ross Tucker with us here at the Beer Bowl. 215-592-9494. We'll finish the Phillies with a trade idea coming up next. Sports Radio 94 WIP.